But we're going to talk about Palm Sunday today. And this is the day historically that Jesus rode into the city of Jerusalem. Okay? And what we call Palm Sunday to me was the day of the big reveal. And Jesus finally, what he did, he said it was time that the world was finally going to know who he really was. And there's a lot of people celebrating. They were really carrying on and really getting carried away almost. But what happened is that the people were celebrating, and then later on, Jesus began to weep. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is what made Jesus cry. And what happened is we should let that get our attention of really what made that situation start to happen, where everybody felt they were having a great big party and that things were really going to start to work together. And then here, off to the side, you know, Jesus himself was weeping. And it's great to celebrate, but sometimes what happens when we celebrate the wrong thing? You know, that's really becomes an issue in our life. And getting on the same page with God should be at the top of our list when we wake up every day, that we want to start to follow our Savior. The scripture I want to look at is very brief. It's found in Luke chapter 19, verse 41. It says, "When he approached Jerusalem, he saw the city and he wept over it." Let's pray. Father God, I thank you right now. I just pray for your peace. I just pray for your wisdom just to abound in this place today. Lord, I thank you for a special stirring in each of our hearts as we celebrate the day of Palm Sunday. Lord, I thank you that we want to celebrate the right thing. Lord, right now I thank you just for the gift that you put inside my life, Lord, just to be stirred up. And I thank you, Lord, for the anointing to be here today, to break every yoke of bondage, to be able to set us free, to be able to draw us closer to you. Lord, I take authority over any disturbance or anything that tries to hinder the flow of your Spirit. And Lord, we thank you for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we're going to look at the three big things today. Three big things. We're going to look at the big stir, the big misunderstanding, and the big takeaway. Now, first we're looking at the big stir. Like I mentioned, there was a lot of excitement that was surrounding Jesus on this day when he rode into Jerusalem. Now, Jesus, what I consider, was the full package. If you follow his ministry through the gospel and the things that he did, he could preach. He was probably the best preacher. He was the best teacher. He could heal people. He cast out demons. And interestingly enough, which we don't really understand because we didn't live at that time, is that the Romans left him alone. If you really look at history back there, when somebody started to draw crowds of thousands of people, the Romans would tamp that down because they thought it was an insurrection. But see, Jesus didn't preach politics. He preached the kingdom of God. Amen. And that was the difference, and that's why, you know, they left him alone. And people were cheering, and they were carrying on. Not too far from here, Lazarus had been risen from the dead. I mean, we're talking some major miracles. When Jesus taught, the Bible says that he taught with authority, not like the scribes or the other people. There was something about him, and that was the anointing of God that was on his life. And what we need to remember is that same anointing resides in our life. And we can tap into that anointing to be able to do the things that God's called us to do. Now, he was drawing such a crowd and such a commotion that day that the religious leaders of that day said, "Hey, tell your disciples to cut it out. Stop. Stop what they're doing." And Jesus said, "If I stop them, the very stones will cry out." And that's a sign of really what's really happened is all of creation is longing for the day that Jesus Christ comes to return things and restore things back to the way it needs to be. See, Jesus is in the restoration business. And that restoration business is good for you and me because what he does, he comes and he restores our lives. And he brings us back, you know, to the place that we need to be. Now, we'll never get all the way until Jesus comes again and we get rid of this thing, this earth suit, this body that we live in, and finally deal with the old sin nature that you and I have trouble with from time to time. But nevertheless, Jesus is bringing restoration to your life and to my life, and we need to tap into it. Another thing that got him really excited, it fulfilled a prophecy, a 400-year-old prophecy in Zechariah chapter 9:9, where it said that Jesus or the Messiah would come riding on a donkey. Now, it's hard to get your head wrapped around that, what that was a big deal. But see, this promise, the people have been looking for forever. I mean, really, hypothetically, in history, it says that a lot of the young Jewish girls, they were hoping that they would be the one that would bring the deliverer, the Messiah, to Israel, to deliver them from all their problems. And they wanted that. But we know that God chose Mary. And God did it a different way. If probably all them other girls knew how God was going to do it, they probably would have backed out. Mary took great faith to step up and do what she did. Now, it's interesting to me that the Messiah rode in on a beast of burden rather than a big, you know, strong horse. You know, but it kind of showed his personality, how he came the first time. Jesus came as a servant. You know, he could have deserved, he deserved really people to serve him. He was God, all, you know, but yet he came to serve people. So he came in on a beast of burden, which is a picture of really what he wants to show us, the temperament that you and I need to have, that we want to go out and we want to serve other people. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. The next time he comes, he's coming on a white horse. Hallelujah. And he's going to come as a conquering hero. He walks in purity. And he's going to come on that day riding that horse, and he's going to be called Faithful and True. And I'll tell you what, that's going to be a great and grand day for you and I to be able to experience, because he deserves all the worship and all the adoration that we could ever give anybody in our life because of the sacrifice and the things that he did for you and I. You know, and what happened here that day is that they laid coats and palm branches, you know, at his feet. Now, we just did a teaching on covenant and what that means. When you gave your coat to somebody, that means you're pledging yourself. I give myself to you. And I'm going to back that up because what that was saying there to these people and what it said to the world, they were pledging, saying, hey, I'm on Team Jesus. I'm following Jesus now. He's the one. He's the man. He's the one that I am going to follow. And they let the whole world know. They let the religious leaders know, and that kind of stubbed their nose in their face. Let the Romans know. Everything. They put everything in the Jesus basket. Okay? Now, just a few days later, we know what happened. As sure as there's a Palm Sunday, there's a Good Friday. And that was a devastating blow. Devastating. Have you ever put your hopes and dreams on something that later on it failed? Just imagine how those people that day maybe felt. They were dancing, they were carrying on. I mean, they were having quite the Pentecostal service, if you know what I'm saying. And then a few days later, the one that they put their hopes in, they watched him die. Devastating. But Sunday's coming. Amen. Sunday's coming. And that's really what Jesus is all about and what he was wanting to do there. See, when people kind of come to Christ, sometimes they do it for the wrong reasons. And I've experienced this, you know, in my life. I've been saved since, a long time, 83 or so back in there I got saved. And I've witnessed to a lot of people, and I've ministered to a lot of people, and some of them, you know, don't always come to Christ for the right reason. They don't really want to surrender their life. You know, a lot of people, you know, come to Christ, and, you know, I've had some people, and they use it as a get-out-of-hell card. You know, I witnessed to somebody for a long time, and I finally just didn't run into him for a long time. Then about a year later, I ran into him at the mall, and he says, Brad, I just got to tell you, I got saved. He says, now I can do anything I want. And I went from a smile to a frown. He totally missed it. He totally missed the reason for coming to Christ. It's not a get out of hell card. It's not, you know, something that we just take lightly in all the things that we do. And some people do that. And, you know, some people also kind of think that maybe if they become a Christian, you know, that God's going to start giving them stuff. You know, maybe they watch some things and they misunderstand, you know, what prosperity is all about. To me, prosperity just means you have more than you need. Doesn't mean you have to have it all. But some people think they got to have it all, and they come to that, and then they get problems going on in their life, and they have a misunderstanding. And really, that's the next point I want to look at. And this is really what happened today, or when they celebrated, you know, Palm Sunday that day. And that's the big misunderstanding. See, we get into trouble when we let our perceived need get out of line with God's divine plan. And what happens is that you and I sometimes, when we come to Christ or we live our Christian life, sometimes we get so inward focused that we forget that our God is bigger than that. You know, I do know God is a personal God. God comes to you and I individually, and He wants to lead us and guide us, and He wants to be there for us and all our thing. But what happens is sometimes we think that our perceived need is more important than anything else in the world, and it's really not. There's a lot of people that really need more serious touches from God than I know that I do. And I just accept that in my life. And we run the risk of misunderstanding God's word when we base it upon our circumstances, okay? A lot of people, you know, they're emotion-driven, and there's a danger. We're going to go on that a little bit deeper. But a lot of times, you know, emotions are good. Like I said, on Palm Sunday, man, they were carrying on, and they were just getting excited about Jesus. And, you know, and I know we missed out on that today because we had our program crash, and, you know, things didn't go according to plan, you know, where some people just get all excited and really clapping and all that. And everything's going good. And then they go outside, they go back in the world, and boom, they're down. You know, just like this, like a heart monitor, doom, 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 like that. Why? Because they allow their emotions to affect their walk with God. And God wants us to have emotions, but He doesn't want our emotions to control us. And that is what we run the risk at when we do that, because, you know, what happens, and I've watched this, is that preconceived ideas can cause us to totally miss what the Lord is trying to tell us and what the Lord is really doing in our life. We get a preconceived idea, okay? And how that comes to play, you know, in our walk with Him. You know, because, you know, maybe I thought, well, I'll come to Jesus, and, you know, I know that Jesus wants me to do this. And, you know, I remember, you know, one time years ago, we had somebody that, you know, was wanting to do some ministry and stuff, and, you know, and they come up on the stage and they just started to tell everybody, well, yeah, I know that I'm supposed to be up here and I'm supposed to be above you. And well, I was just going, oh no, we've created a monster. You know, because that's what can happen. It was a preconceived idea where they thought they maybe were all that, but they really weren't. They're just one in a crowd. That's what we are. We're a group of people coming together to worship God, to glorify Him. It's not about pushing somebody above another. It's about worshiping Him and coming to Him and being able to surrender our life to Him, to give Him our all. See, as we know, and the Jewish people, you know, when Jesus came, and that's why they were carrying on, they were looking for a deliverer from Rome. Now, we've never had to live in, you know, in my lifetime anyway, under tyranny, you know, here in our country. I mean, you can maybe call some of it tyranny, what's been happening in life, but we've never been where another occupying army came in and tried to control us. And that's what was happening here. The Jewish nation, you know, had gotten in all kinds of trouble. They rebelled against God, and they sinned. And then, you know, God allowed them to go into captivity. When they were not obedient, they broke that covenant protection that they had, and they were in captivity. And the Romans weren't the nicest people to hang around, if you know what I'm saying. A matter of fact, if you saw a Roman soldier on one side of the street, you'd probably go on the other side, because they were mean and they were brutal. And that's how they stayed alive, because they were warriors. And see, they were dominating the people. And so the people, you know, they thought their perceived need is, you know, God, you know, when the deliverer comes, He's going to set us free from these Roman guys. No. What God came to do was set us free from a worse enemy, And that was the enemy of sin. And that's where we miss it. God cares more about getting us delivered from Satan's power than any other thing in our life. And I hate to say it, sometimes, you know, Satan can be kind of like a little puppeteer. Has the devil ever played with your mind? You know, have you ever jumped to the worst case scenario? You know, something's going on and all of a sudden you're just thinking, oh man, this is what's going to happen. It's going to be terrible. You know, and it's not that. But see, that's the only power he has, is the power of deception on what he tries to do in our life. And he tries to get us to look at the wrong thing. And see, Jesus came so that we don't have to submit to that power, but we have a potential of being able to take our eyes off our problem and putting our eyes on the promise. And the promise is through Jesus Christ. So that's what really was happening. And it was a time that Jesus had really come to do. And what happened is the people really misread the circumstances. You know, Jesus had dropped a few breadcrumbs through his ministry, kind of showing some things that he did and what was going on and how important that was. And the people just totally missed it. And what happened, you know, when Jesus did it, you know, like I said, he healed the sick. He raised the dead. He cast out demons. And then he said something interesting one day, because they tried to trick him. I mean, the Pharisees, they didn't want nothing to do with him, and the Sadducees and all them, you know, religious people. You know, they didn't like Jesus because he made them look bad. Because he was a real Christian, shall we say. He was the first Christian, right? Christ, the anointed one. And what he did, they tried to trick him. And, you know, the money they used then was Roman money. And they came and said, well, should we pay taxes to Caesar or do we give to God, give to the church, and or whatever? And then Jesus says, what name is on that coin? And I said, Caesar's. Jesus says, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and the things to God the things are God. And that made a distinction right there. You know, Jesus, you know, wouldn't fall for that bait. Jesus told them, really, we need to kind of separate those worlds a little bit. And we need to make sure that we follow him and to the best of our ability. Because here's what happened. You know, religion isn't good. And you hear us talking about it from time to time. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, my grandma was religious. And I know what they mean. They mean a nice thing about it. But when you say religion to us as you know, true followers of Christ, or the remnant, shall we say, you know, religion is bad because it's death. It doesn't help people. And what happened here, the religious leaders of that day, they were the ones who really spent a lot of time in the scriptures, and they really, but they see, they used it wrong. See, the scriptures were given to draw people closer to God, but they used the scriptures to keep people away from God. They kept telling them, you're not good enough. You're never going to make it. I'm better than you are. You do what I say. And see, that's what religion is. Religion pumps up the person. But see, Christianity is totally different. And see, that's what happened. See, the religious leaders of that day, number one, first they missed his birth. I mean, it was written right in the scriptures they've been reading all the time, but they totally missed it. They missed his birth. They missed during his ministry. They thought he was, you know, Jesus, you know, it was kind of a dicey deal because, you know, Jesus' mom became pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And, you know, Joseph wasn't the father, you know. So they all, you know, considered Jesus illegitimate. And they put him down a little bit. And they figured, well, God couldn't use somebody like that. Well, God did. Never let anybody tell you that God can't use you because of your past. See, God can see your future. Amen. And that's what we need to know. I mean, I'm not proud of very much of my past. But see, there's a bloodline. You know what I'm saying? There's a bloodline right there. And that bloodline made a separation between my past and my future. And we need to look at that. So they missed his ministry. And they missed his big reveal here when he finally rode in on that donkey and fulfilled that prophecy. So, you know, religious people missed Jesus when he came the first time. And I could guarantee you they're going to miss him when he comes again. They're going to miss him because they're not really seeing with the eyes they need to see. Now, like I mentioned, Jesus wept. He was crying. Have you ever cried? You know, I like it when God touches me and I begin to weep. That's a good thing. That means God's, that means we're not dead yet. Amen? I don't know. That's how I look at it. I mean, I try not to cry in front of everybody. I got my little spot I cry in my office, you know what I mean? I put on some good worship songs and draw close to God, and he touches me, and it's really cool. You guys ought to come over sometime. It's really fun. But anyway, Jesus wept. Now, that word wept is not just crying little tears. That word wept means he was in agony. He was sobbing. He was wailing. He was this uncontrollable tears and anguish. Why? What made him cry? Because he knew that people were missing it. The people that he came to save missed everything. The majority of them, of what he was doing. Even his followers, the ones who spent time with him all the time, were a little bit confused about the whole deal. They didn't understand it. And, it just bothered him because he could watch what was really going to happen, because there were some bad things going to happen in that country pretty soon. And we should never doubt the fact first, the love and care that Jesus has for us. I know sometimes you're out there and like you're on a tightrope and there's no net. Have you ever felt like that? And you hear people like me telling you that Jesus cares, but yet it doesn't feel like it. There's days like that, people. It's going to be that way. Keep walking. Just keep walking. Just keep heading towards him. It'll work out. Don't stay down if you fall. Get right back up. Keep coming after him with all you got. And believe me, it's going to work out. I've been through some scrapes and some battles in my day, and I guarantee you this, God is real. Amen. God is alive. Amen. And God cares. Amen. And God will bring you through to the other side. You just got to keep hanging on and hang on and hang on and hang on. And when you get to the end of your rope, tie a little knot right there and hang on better. You won't slide that way. So tie that knot. But, we should never doubt his love. And, Jesus was weeping there. And what really happened is that Jesus wept because, the people had missed their opportunity and how they were ignorant of their time of visitation. Have you ever been ignorant in your time of visitation? I remember times in my life before I came to Christ, and even since then, I've missed it a time or two. My time of visitation was there. Somebody was trying to tell me about Jesus and want me to draw close to him. But, I was kind of ignorant about it. I didn't really want to believe it, or I didn't want to surrender then. So we need to get past that. So what I think causes us to mess up is that, have you ever met somebody, or maybe we've been that person? What's in it for me? You know what I mean? That what's in it for me mentality. What can I get out of this? What's the benefit that I'm going to have? And, how is this going to help me in my walk? Because, we as Christians need to let go of that. We need to let go of that what's in it for me mentality. When God calls us to do things, a lot of people, it says in the Bible in the last days, they want to go to places to get their ears tickled, okay? They want to go to places, that makes them feel good and kind of pet their flesh. Oh, there. That's all good. You need build up, but sometimes we need correction, right? We need to be challenged, in our walk with God. We need to get, I know God cares for me and he wants to do things for me and he does things for me, but I don't want it to just be about me. It's got to be about other people also. We've gotten to the place in our culture when it comes to God's word that we treat it like Amazon. We only put things in our cart that we want. We leave the rest go. It was kind of like going in the grocery store. I'll be honest, there's some rows I never go down. Nothing there interests me. And see, a lot of times when people read God's word, they're going through it and they get to a tough part. Oh, they just, cut that page out even. I don't want to lead that. I don't want to change. I want to have fun. I want to do what I want to do. So we got to get past that. See, Jesus, what he did is he took issue with religious activity that accomplished very little. And the house of prayer became a den of thieves. And that's what he did after he went to Jerusalem. Now, I want to share a little bit about that. And I'm going to look at it from both sides of the issue, okay? Now, we could easily say, what them religious leaders had done there. That was bad. They had taken, the house of the Lord, and they made it just so it's a big fundraiser for themselves. And that's not good. And there has been some preachers that are guilty of that. And, you know, I just say, let God deal with this. You know, it's not my problem. You know, that's a God problem. I'm not called to fix other preachers. I'm called just to build the body of Christ. Amen? And that's what you're called to do. Let God deal with God things, and we'll deal with the other. But what happened here, I want to give you a little history on this. Remember, there were 12 tribes of the children of Israel, right? Well, what happened is that Joseph had two sons. I think it was Manasseh and Ephraim, right? Okay. God called the Levites to himself, the Levitical priesthood, and they were to minister in the temple. Now, when they started divvying up the land, God wanted 12 tribes, so what he did is that Joseph's two sons became part of the 12, and the Levites didn't get anything. Does that sound fair? But see, the plan was that the other 12 were supposed to take care of the one as they ministered in the temple. Meaning, when they grow the crops and when they do all these things, they were supposed to take their, and then it's all written in the Old Testament, they were taking some of their stuff and they were bringing it and they were supposed to dedicate it to the people, and they were supposed to, that was supposed to be able to feed the Levites, the ones who dedicated their life. I mean, some of them sang in the temple all the time, some of them, you know, whatever they did. And God never gave them a piece of ground as an inheritance, so they had nothing. They had to live on the generosity of other people. How many here would like to live on the generosity of other people, knowing how we know ourselves? Come on. It'd be tough, wouldn't it? Yeah. It'd be hard. But see, that's what happened. And so, I'm not saying this is how it worked out, but I can see, and see what they had, the problem is the money changers, what they would do is that they devised the plan. It's probably a fundraiser for the Levites because maybe they weren't getting, you know, some of the produce and the things they needed. So it started off with a good idea. Hey, we need to, you know, we're starving here, man. We need to make some money. So they did a fundraiser. I mean, a lot of people do fundraisers. I mean, that's all right. And so they, instead of using the Roman coins, which had Caesar as a god, they didn't want to use those coins in the temple. So what they did then is that they got their own currency, and so when you went in to do an offering for God, let's say you came from a faraway land and you need to have to buy this special lamb that was checked out, made sure it was good enough for the sacrifice, you had to buy the lamb, but you couldn't use the Roman money. You had to use the temple money. And so they did an exchange rate where they cheated the people. A dollar wasn't worth a dollar. A dollar ain't worth a dollar now anyway for us, is it? Think about it. But anyway, a dollar wasn't worth a dollar. And so they did that, and they were taking advantage of the people. So hypothetically, maybe it was a good thing what they started out, but like when sin gets in there and with religious people, it just fell apart. And Jesus said, this is wrong. He went in there and started throwing the tables over and did all these things because they got off track. And see, that's what religion does. Religion gets off track. We need to keep our relationship strong and vital with our Lord and make sure that we're walking in a place He wanted us to be. You know, the other thing is that Jesus was wailing in agony because He knew what was going to be coming down the pike. You know, as a matter of fact, I got it written down here. In 70 AD, the Romans, after a 143-day siege, would kill 1 million Jews and destroy the temple. 1 million people died. Because finally, they tried to rebel against Rome. And like I said, Rome was a fighting machine. And Jesus is weeping. See, Jesus could see into the future. And that's why Jesus cried. He cried for people who missed it. Jesus does not want people to die and go to hell. Jesus wants people to surrender their life to Him. It's our problem, because He gave ample opportunities. He's given ample opportunity today for us to get it right. And the Bible says that, you know, when Jesus told him, I'm going to build this temple up in 3 days, when Jesus rose from the dead, guess what the new temple is? Us. Our body. Our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives inside a Christian. That's how it works. And that's the temple Jesus cares about. So we take the church everywhere we go. All right, in closing here, the big takeaway. Some who cheered would later yell, "Crucify." People are fickle. They're going to turn and do what they want because they're emotional beings. And emotional Christianity doesn't last. I've watched people who come to Christ and it's just an emotional thing. They maybe come forward and they bawl and squall and carry on. A week or two later, they're not here no more. They're not anywhere. They're like that guy that said, "Well, now I got that over with. I can do anything I want." That's not really how it works. Now, God's a judge, fortunately, not us. But, you know, we need to make sure that we follow through because, you know, we need to be followers of faith instead of followers by feelings. You know, churches are going to have some issues. I mean, I'm sure we have some issues. I'm usually don't hear about it till it's over, you know what I mean? But I try to think the best about everybody is my goal in life. But, you know, sometimes, you know, we're not a perfect church. I know that for a fact because I'm here and I'm not perfect. And you're here and I'm guessing you're not perfect. You know, so I've went to a bad restaurant, but I went back again, amen, give them another shot. I've went to other restaurants. You know, don't give up on God because you had a bad experience, and we got to keep pushing on. See, loyalty to God and His church is important, and I do believe that God draws people to where He wants them to be, and we need to be there to work for Him. Next point we got to look at, are we going to follow Jesus, or are we going to follow Judas? Judas had preconceived ideas, okay? He wanted to force Jesus because he knew Jesus had all kinds of power. He could raise people from the dead. If you can raise somebody from the dead, I'm sure you can handle a Roman or two. You know what I mean? So he wanted to force Jesus' hand a little bit, and it didn't work well for him. So we had to make sure we're following the right thing. You know, and what will we do with the information we have? I don't know about you, but I know too much. I've experienced too much of God's blessing and love in my life that, you know, I can't walk away without serious repercussions in my life. I know that. You know, but that's okay. I don't want to walk away. I'm not saying I never have a bad day. I'm not saying I don't get frustrated. You know, I kind of kept pretty composure for the deal we had today, right? I mean, it was kind of a bummer for me. I was really looking forward to this worship set and everything, how things were going to go down, and then boom, you know, something happened. Am I going to blame the devil? No. I'm going to blame Google or somebody like that or whatever caused that program to crash. But those things happen. You just got to keep moving on. Try to make the best of it. Do not live a life of regret due to missed opportunity. Don't miss an opportunity. Next, do not let religion dull our spiritual senses. Now, this is going to be a little more that we need to really cipher through. But see, the Sadducees were the ruling religious party of that day, and they had very liberal theology, okay? There were two ruling sects. There were a few back then, but you got the Pharisees and the Sadducees. I'm going to tell that joke that nobody likes, but anyway. The Pharisees, they believed in the resurrection, and the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. That's why they're sad, you see. Get it? Anyway, it's an old one. I've been using it for 20 years. I need to come up with some new material. But anyway, that's liberal theology. They didn't believe in, as a matter of fact, if you look through the book of Acts, Paul used that to his benefit when he's preaching one time. He split them two apart from each other, and it saved him from probably getting a tar beat out of him that time. But he, you know, the religious leaders of that time were very liberal. You know, much of what we face today sometimes in our culture. And those are things that we need to be aware of and not let those things come into our life. I believe God's word says what it says, and we need to believe it and act on it. Next, we need to wait with excitement and anticipation for the Lord's second coming. You know, I know they've been preaching, you know, Jesus said He's coming. He said He's been coming for 2,000 years. You know, some people have maybe given up hope. I haven't yet. You know, I see the signs of the times. I see what's kind of going on around us. Even if He doesn't come, man, we still need to be ready. With all the things that are going on in our world today and how things are happening, you know, we need to be on fire, and we need to just keep that light burning and keep coming and coming and coming and coming after Him. Also, we need to hopefully in our walk with God, we'll have more aha moments than duh moments. You know what I mean? Have you ever had those? I love the aha. you're reading the Word or something, all of a sudden, boom, big light goes on over your head. God just gave you something. And then all of a sudden, after we've done something, maybe frustrated for so long, duh, man, I really missed that. No, we don't want those. I want those aha moments. So if we celebrate Palm Sunday today, you know, I want to make sure that we're celebrating the right thing. You know, when we come to Christ, we come to Him on His terms. You know, we all have our own issues and different things that we have going on in our life. And I know we do. And God can cipher through all those things and work through those things. But we need to make sure that we're coming for the right reason. You know, it's not a get out of hell card, but I'm thankful I don't have to go to hell. It's not so God will give me things, but I know that God gives me things. The reason why I come to Christ is because I've never in my whole entire life found somebody that loved me like that. See, I'm almost crying right now. And I don't do that very often. But that love that Jesus Christ has for us. There's nothing, nothing in this world that can compare to it. Let's pray.